Council caucus to the regular council meeting. Debbie, will you please call the roll?
Grindell?
Here.
Kapusta?
Here.
Narduzzi?
Here.
Sinek?
Here.
Tracus?
Present.
Paverka?
Here.
Walchanowicz?
Here.
Very good. Welcome, everyone, and we'll get started. Is there any requests, Mayor, anybody, any to go out of order, or we go right to follow the ordinance?
It's going to be a pretty simple agenda tonight, at least, well, initially, we'll see.
Very good. I have a 7:30 reservation for dinner. My wife will kill me. I'll be sleeping on the balcony tonight. Very good. Well, we'll start with the second reading, and the very first piece of legislation on page 2 is ordinance number 2021-35. It's an ordinance amending chapter 351, parking generally of the codified ordinances of the City of Independence, to prohibit parking on public streets during winter months and to prohibit parking on one-way streets entirely. And Jim, I know I got your email, I think, and your request is, and I briefly went over your revised, it looked, what I saw looked good and everything, but I think maybe our best bet is just to hold it to a committee meeting and then be able to vote on it next month.
If you don't mind, yeah, I think a more thorough vetting, I mean, clearly the original idea was not what was considered to be in the best interest of the community by a majority of our council, and so a revised, I hope, would take care of some of the issues that were raised and make this a less problematic ordinance and more productive ordinance. So hopefully everybody can read it. Maybe we could have a committee hearing in, either safety or streets and sidewalks or whatever, wherever it's appropriate. Mark it up and then see what we come with.
My only concern is if we have snow before next month's meeting.
It's Cleveland. I don't discount anything.
That's with very good, John. I appreciate the hard work you put in the revision and everything. So we will remove ordinance 2021-35 from tonight's agenda.
I try to listen.
Well, I liked what I was reading so far. Now we move on to ordinance number 2021-77. This is an ordinance enacting new chapter 796 of the codified ordinances of the City of Independence, requiring peace officers to be present on the premises for hotels, motels, transient hotels, and transit motels and banquet facilities for events in which alcohol is served or permitted to be consumed, revision 1. And I do know that there was, I think paragraph, was that C that was removed as far as extended stay?
C through E had some changes, I know. C through E, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Got a lot of that terminology out that Mike felt wasn't in our best interest.
I think C was moved down to what the old E was. Transient means not more than 30 days.
Yeah.
And then there's banquet facility, peace officer, and operator. And then they're also in under the penalty section, 796.03. Greg, you had inserted some a penalty for the first offense of any operator who violates or fails to comply with any of the provisions of this chapter. The mayor shall send to the operator a letter warning the operator any future violation will lead to a citation in accordance with the provisions herein. And then following the warning letter, there's, I guess, the fine of not more than $250 for the second offense. And then after that, I think, is that fourth offense, it goes up to
$500?
Technically,
it would be the third offense.
Third offense, yeah. Third and subsequent would be $500. So, any comments from council on the changes to this legislation? Ken.
Senator, a question. If perhaps the mayor's office, the economic development director's office, has had any contact from the hotel management or people affected by this since our last meeting, has there been any feedback from received at City Hall from any of the affected parties on this?
Jessica, I think you could answer that.
Yeah, I have not received any other additional comments.
I think, Jessica, this change was made, I think, per one of the hotel operator's suggestion, I believe.
Correct. That is correct.
Very good. Any other comments or questions, either of Jessica
Dale?
Or Ken?
I do.
Dale? Okay, Dale?
I'm just curious as to the potential cost, not just to the individuals, but is that going to be enough of a difference in a cost that's going to chase business away or to another venue that doesn't require this particular requirement?
I don't see that the cost of bringing a peace officer to an event is something that would be so burdensome that it would discourage investment in our community from someone from having an event.
And I don't know if Chief is on. Chief Gilbane, is he on or no?
Yes, I am.
Chief, do I remember correctly? You said somewhere in the range of about $50 or so an hour.
Yes, the range right now is $40 to $50 an hour, and most other jurisdictions have either a similar requirement or a policy where they have off-duty police officers there, and it doesn't seem to be, you know, a deterrent to holding events there. You know, it's just considered one of the costs, just like the DJ or the photographer.
Thank you, Chief.
Chris,
how will we enforce it, or how do the other municipalities enforce it, you know, that we know that they're going to actually abide by this ordinance?
Councilperson Wilchanowicz, in other cities that have a similar ordinance, what happens is it's not like the officers are going around checking the venues to make sure they have cops. If there's a problem there, and the whole purpose is to eliminate problems, if the officers respond and there's a problem at the venue and there's no off-duty cops there, the first offense would trigger that warning letter from the mayor, and that would put the venue on notice that they're not compliant. You know, subsequent response there for another problem where there's no officer there, then it would kick into the enforcement end.
Thanks for the explanation.
And are we talking about just basically like three venues now, as far as for events like this, the Embassy, the Holiday Inn, and the Doubletree? Is there any other facilities that are big enough to
Crown Plaza would fall under this, should they resume events and start operating as they had in the past?
When does this kick into gear? Because some venues are booked out a year and a half in advance, so they're going to have to go back to the participant and ask for more money to pay for the police, or how's it going to be, and when's it going to be law?
Well, the way it's set up now, Councilperson Arduzzi, it's going to become effective the minute the mayor signs it.
So at that point, we will let the venue know that if from this point going forward, they have to have that policeman in there?
Yes, we would notify them.
So will this also include, like, Saucy, if they go through with their banquet hall and all that stuff, like Topgolf too, as well?
Yes.
Yes. Matter of fact, Chris, it was one of the requirements for Saucy when the Planning Commission and the Council approved.
Okay. Saucy, yes. Topgolf, no.
Why not
crushing?
Topgolf, unless they're operating different than I know, Topgolf doesn't fall within the definition of banquet facility.
I did attend a couple of outings there, Greg, that had over 100 people, that fundraisers.
Okay, in that case, then in those functions, they would have to have a police officer. I've only been there once myself.
Vice Mayor, Topgolf is already hiring off-duty police officers.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Any other comments or questions? Dale, you have...
Is the word transient, is that still in there?
Yes.
Does it need to be?
Yes, because that is 30 days or less staying in a hotel.
Yeah, what was removed was the extended stay language and residential hotel motel language. Any other questions or comments? Then we'll be be voting on this this evening? Very good. We'll move on to ordinance number 2021-86. An ordinance declaring the dwelling and accessory buildings at 7622 Brexville Road in the city of Independence to be structurally defective and unsanitary, and therefore a public nuisance as defined in city codified ordinance 1369.01, declaring the dwelling at 7622 Brexville Road and accessory buildings in the city of Independence to be unsafe or structurally defective under Ohio Revised Code section 715.261, and authorizing the law director to notify the owner of and declaring an emergency. And I believe, Jim, was this the one that you were going to provide us information?
Yes, thank you. And Jim Riley provide. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry. Jim Riley, you go ahead.
Okay. This is one of the hoarding issues that we have in town. And I dropped a package off to all of you today. And this has not just been going on since I started. This has been back to 2014. I started back in November when the mayor sent me out there, and we tried to work peacefully with them. And believe me, the city provided free dumpsters. I offered if they needed help removing stuff, whatever we could do to help this family out. Then it got to the point where a dumpster would sit there for a week and nothing would happen. There'd be nothing put in it, or maybe one bag. So it finally came to the point, and I gave you guys a copy of that, where I finally came to it, we needed to take them to court. So we had the clerk of court set a court date with the prosecutor and the mayor, and we had them there, and then we gave them another chance. This has been going on and on. So today was the court date, and this morning I went out there at 9:30 and took pictures. And here's the thing. They have made some progress, but what their idea of progress and what progress is are really far apart. So at 9:30 I took pictures, and then they came in at 1:30 at court, and they tried to say, well, my pictures were not accurate, because between 9:30 and 1:30 they had their son and a couple of his friends load the dumpster with some items. The picture sheet that were given to you, that were taken after 1:30, Mrs. Nestor took. It's still a mess there. So what I'm asking you is if you could pass this tonight, they'll still take, it's not something like tomorrow we're going there and gonna have, you know, people there removing items. But I think now they realize how serious this is. And if we don't pass it, then there's no sense of pursuing any other hoarders or any other problem properties in the city, because we used to send these cases over to Garfield Court, and the clerk of courts, Angie, found out that we could hear them here in Mayor's Court. So we could have, you know, watch out in our own backyard what's going on. Well, we need to do this. And I think, you know, tonight you have on the agenda about, you know, the demolishing of the Grunt property. I think if you guys pass this, it's going to send ripples through this community saying, hey, we got to clean up our yard. We got to clean up. The city isn't playing around. So I ask you guys to support it, because if you look, you know, we get calls constantly in the building department and engineering department about these properties. I know Dar gets them in the mayor's office. And we need to keep the community looking the way it needs to be. I mean, we have to hold people to a standard that we're used to in Independence. And believe me, we did this in a very friendly way, as easy as possible, to try and help them out. And I'll continue to work with them. But I think if this will show, hey, council, the mayor, everybody's on the same page, we need to get these houses cleaned up.
Any questions for Jim from Kathleen?
I really have more of a comment. When I read through Jim's materials, even if it hadn't said in there that this began in 2014, I think that the detail and the ardor with which he went about trying to help the people, we'll send in our staff, you know, we have these the dumpsters for you, You know, can we do anything more? I think that is definitely above and beyond. So I do not think that we could be held to the having followed a lesser standard. I think that actually, I don't know if any other city would do this to the extent that Jim did with this case. So I certainly support this request.
I appreciate that, Kathleen.
Mike, any, I see Mike on the screen here with us. Any comments, Mike, from your perspective?
Only the fact that this has, as noted, and as I'm sure Jim has mentioned, this has been going on for quite a few years. This property was an issue when I was hired by the city back about a little over 9 years ago. So we've worked with them through the years. Jim has made every effort to this point, and it's gotten to the point where, again, as I had mentioned previously, these things come to council only when it comes to last resort.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions for Jim or Mike on this? Yes, I can.
You know, you guys have been at this way longer than I have, and my introduction to this property, my knowledge of it is very limited. So what I did read in Jim Riley's report and the pictures and the references talked a lot about the condition of the yard, the peeling paint on the house, kind of sort of exterior conditions. The ordinance itself declares the dwelling the unsafe and unsanitary. Have we ever inspected the interior of the house? I mean, are ducks in a row with what we're declaring to be the condition of the house? I'm just wondering if there's been an inspection of the inside of it. Are we proper to declare the dwelling unsafe and unsanitary? Do we have the background to support that sort of declaration? Yeah, I'm just asking the question because I don't have the history of this.
No, it's a good question, Ken. Jim, you can answer.
Ken, here's a couple of things. The Nestor's brought up today in court about painting. And I said, look, we're trying to take this, you know, one step at a time. Let's get the yard cleaned up. Then we'll start concentrating on the house and what needs to be done on that. Now, as far as going into the house, as a city, we're not allowed to do that. They can tell, you know, but I did from our prosecutor learn that if I see something, I can ask for a subpoena to be, or a search warrant to be issued, and then our fire department can go in there if it's a safety issue. And Chief Riga's not sure about that either, but that's kind of the last, you know, the last resort. But what this is just doing is giving us the possibility that if they don't clean another thing up in the yard, the city can go in and clean it up and take care of it. And then all we would do is whatever it costs us is put that on their taxes, assess them, and whenever they, you know, sold the property or whatever, the city would get their money. But it's kind of like, let's help them out. I mean, this is a, you know, hoarding is a mental illness. So we're trying to, you know, be a good city and help one of our residents in a tough situation.
Thank you, Jim. Kathleen.
We
have follow-up.
Go on, yes, go on.
Yeah, I just follow up with the law director if he has any concerns about the references to the dwelling when, you know, our documentation seems to be more directed toward the conditions of the exterior of the property. Is there anything we need to be concerned about in terms of the language of this ordinance versus the conditions on the ground?
No, I agree with everything that Jim said as far as his rendition of the facts and his assertion of the law. We're operating under the exterior maintenance code of chapter 13, so we're using that language as applied to that chapter as opposed to the interior of the dwelling.
Very good, thank you.
Kathleen?
Yes, I was just gonna say from my experience in working with the city, when I was in the homes of several of the hoarding individuals in our community, and when we tried to do much like Jim has done, engage them to and provide them with resources to modify what the living circumstances were that they were under, and of course they didn't want to, and perhaps in part it is because it is a mental illness. But when we got to the next level, which is when we could contact the County Board of Health on this, their parameters were So to answer anything about doing anything inside, their parameters were that they had no authority even to engage further if the person did not willingly want to invite them in, which of course most of the folks don't in that circumstance, unless something was going on their property that was a direct risk or offense to their neighbors. So for instance, they gave me the example as if the house was so in such a deteriorated state that rats and bugs and things were running out to other people. That's at the point that they could start to use a little bit more force. So the interior is really a lot to people's own discretion, unfortunately.
Jim, did you, I know early on you wanted to comment on any comments?
No, I just want to say I thought that description was excellent, and if we have more of these going forward, I think that type of a summation and make sure it's on the record is helpful, because I think, you know, the public has a right to know about these conditions when we vote on them. And they're difficult decisions, but the willingness of the city administration to work with the family and try to assist them through all this to basically, you know, live up to their obligation as a citizen has been stellar. And I really appreciate the work that Mike and Jim and the mayor have done on this.
Thank you, Jim. Any comments, Dale? Mayor, do you have any comments on this?
No, I think that our team's done a very thorough job. We've been very patient, and that's the same protocol we're going to continue to use, is we talk in person with the people that are struggling or having a problem or just not being a good neighbor, and we intend to continue to have dialogue, but we need the need to know that council is going to create an enforcement mechanism that will support our initiative, and we will only use it when we need to, and only after we've exhausted every other possibility. So I encourage council to support this, because as was indicated earlier, it's going to set the tone for every future situation that we have to deal with.
Thank you, Mayor. And Jim, I want to thank you too, because I know you've worked hard on this case and a few others that come that I'd recommend to the mayor, and you took care of it. Neighbors were happy. It was not, neighbor wasn't pitted against neighbor. You were there to kind of mediate and kind of get things moving, and you did an excellent job. And so we appreciate, I think, Tom, you've been, for years, you've been advocating that we should, you know, back our building, back our people up to support an initiative like this. And they were finally getting to the point now we need to, as a council, back the building department, back our inspectors and everything, and try to work again with our residents every way possible. But we need to support our people in their endeavors. So we will put this on, this will be voted upon this evening. And Jim, again, I appreciate all your help and your input in this matter.
Thanks, Dave, I appreciate it.
Very good. We'll move on now to the first reading and the legislation that begins on page 3. And that's ordinance number 2021-93. It's ordinance authorizing the execution of depository agreements for interim public funds. And I know Vern was here. I saw him. There you go, Vern. You have the floor.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. And I just talked briefly about this one and the companion one. Ordinance 2021-100. That yes. One is for active public funds, and these are just standard legislative approvals that are needed. We've done it here in Independence every 5 years, and it's now the end of the fifth year, and it just lists a number of Northeast Ohio banks that the City of Independence can do business with. Right now, we really only do business with 3 of them on that list: Independence Bank, Fifth Third Bank, and Star Ohio. And that's not really a bank; that's a state of Ohio-led pool of an investment pool that the city belongs to. But it just gives us some flexibility in case we need to establish banking relationships with any other Northeast Ohio banks that have a presence here. And that's technical as either of them are.
So Lisa, this has been routine. We've done this every 5 years. I'm able to list the banks, the possible banks that we do business with or could do business with. And
that's correct.
And Very good. Any questions for our finance director? Any opposition to either of those pieces of legislation? Not seeing any. Debbie, we can put both of these on the consent agenda. Thank you, Vern.
You're welcome.
We move now on to ordinance 2021-94. It's the annual appropriations ordinance. Again, this is where we make amendments. Go ahead, Vern.
All right, thank you again, Vice Mayor. I've outlined in the legislative review from this past Friday evening the substantive changes that are being proposed. The largest one is the $1.7 million appropriation into the Capital Improvement Fund to account for an upcoming economic development deal. And I believe it'll be talked about more in executive session later this evening. Another one looks like I got word just this morning that our grant application through the state of Ohio was approved, so we will receive the first of the two tranches from that American Rescue Plan Act funding, just a hair over $375,000 this year and the same amount next year in 2022. And then some of the other miscellaneous proposed amendments are, should it be too much of a surprise, the number of them over the last couple of meetings, I had written in the legislative review that if passed, council will have to amend the appropriations ordinance to account for this. And so the heads up was there, and now we're just following through so that we can either complete the project, if it was, say, the sidewalk project on Hillside, or complete some purchases that were approved. So nothing should be too surprising in here. That's the major highlights, especially that $1.7 million appropriation for an economic development deal package that the city's involved in.
Now, Verna, is this the first time that we've had this this year, or is the second time that we've had to amend the appropriations? Can kind of jog my memory here.
I think the second. I think we did it in April. Yes. It was ordinance 2021-055. We passed the original appropriation for 2021 in December. It was ordinance 2020-138, amended in April 2021-55, and now this is the second amendment here in July 2021-094.
So really, it's compared to, I know, when your predecessor, we would be changing almost monthly, I believe. That's not correct, Kathleen. We'd have amendments to the appropriation ordinance almost every month, every 2 months. But the way that you handle Vern's fine. As a matter of fact, that's more so because you wait until there's maybe a more than a few changes to be made before we do the amendment.
There are five more months left in the year, so maybe we could get back on the monthly plan too if you want to.
Yeah, well, it's whatever council would feel like. I say I like this, but you've explained them very well. And if, are there any other questions for Vern on this particular, Ken?
Yeah, it looks like the biggest line item change are this street resurfacing and capital improvement, where we've added like $2.7 million total on those expenditure lines. Can you elaborate on what that's about?
Well, $1.7 million of that is this economic development deal. The account that this deal would be accounted for is in the 410 fund, the capital improvement fund, and then the rest is I'd have to look at the details on that one. Let's see. No, actually, the capital improvement fund is just being proposed to go up only the $1.7 million, and that's this single economic development deal. Okay. $4 million was the previous appropriation. $5.7 million is the proposed appropriation.
Right. My question was, what is that $1.7 million? It's all the CBIZ project?
Correct.
And
the, street resurfacing, is that also part of that, or is that other?
No, that's separate. Street resurfacing is, we indicated there that a couple of the projects have been coming in over budget, over the amount that was listed in the capital plan. And so to be able to cover the approved accepted bid amount, we had to increase the 420 street resurfacing fund appropriation by approximately $1 million there.
Those are the only two really big line items in there, as far as I can tell. Did I miss anything? Were there any other?
No, the $375,000 for that American Rescue Plan Act. But all we're doing is really we established a fund a month or two ago, and now we'll be able to receive it, park it in that account, and then the discussion still has to be had between the legislative body and the administration as to how those funds are going to be utilized.
I believe, Vern, those are there are limitations on how those funds can be used. I think we talked about maybe infrastructure, Jim. I believe maybe some from your committee.
That's correct.
Plan projects.
That's correct.
Yep. And we'll be discussing that on the 27th of the month.
Very good. Any other questions from council? Any opposition to putting this on the consent agenda? Not seeing any. Debbie will put ordinance 2021-94 on the consent agenda. Ordinance number 2021-95. This is ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a memorandum of understanding with the Independence Local School Board of Education for professional consulting services from Educational Services Center of Northeast Ohio in connection with the Early Intervention Prevention Program. Is Angie with us?
Yep.
Yes, I'm here. Angie, can you hear me?
Nice to see Angie. You have the floor, Angie.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is our prevention specialist, Alexa Belkin, and the only changes this year is that instead of working for the McKeon Education Group, she is actually going to be working for the schools through the Educational Service Center of Northeast Ohio. This is basically how the schools hire their supplemental professionals to provide services. And it will actually provide for more flexibility in the programs and services Alexa can provide. The other change this year is that the school is asking us to do a team approach. So rather than having only Alexa serve the after-school program as she has done in the past with the 3 6-week training programs, they have a multitude of people on board that may be better able to serve a particular need. So for instance, if there's a behavioral specialist also working for the school. So if the aftercare program had a particular issue that was best suited for her to deal with, then Katie would be able to serve the staff at the aftercare program. And I just wanted to say that you know, this has been an important addition to our prevention efforts. So for youth and individuals getting in trouble, they would come through our community diversion program. But this is a way for us to be proactive and have somebody right inside the school building to work with the students and families to prevent them from having to come into our office to begin with. Additionally, it provides a bridge between the schools and the aftercare program that has been very much welcomed, I know, by the after-school program staff. It provides for, oftentimes, the students that are having issues at the school are also in the aftercare programs. And if they're having a bad day at school, they're likely going to be having a bad day in aftercare. So, this provides for continuity of care. It has improved communication with the schools, and I know that the after-school program staff is very happy with it.
And Angie, how many years have we been partnering with the school board with this?
2018 was the first year.
I see. So this will be the fourth year then?
Yes. Yeah.
Angie, this also extends into the summer months?
Yes, it does. Alexa will be on a 205-day contract, which will allow her to be available to consult with the after-school or the summer camp staff, I should say, during the summer, if any issues should arise. She has also provided training for the summer camp orientation program. So every year there's a two-day orientation for workers coming in that are going to be at summer camp, summer playground. And I believe Alexa and Katie, the behavioral specialist, provided that training this year.
And is this the first year that we're partnering, or the school system is partnering with the Educational Service Center of Northeast Ohio? Previously, it was a private company?
Yes, yes. It was the McKeon Education Group. And the school is so pleased with Alexa that they really wanted to hire her. And this was a way for her to be able to do that. We partnered with McKeon last year with the understanding that the school would be able to hire her. And this is how they hire their supplemental professionals, is through the Educational Services Center.
Yeah, my wife was hired many years for special education too in that program. Mm-hmm. Any other question, Kathleen?
Yeah, Ange, where does this stand from a cost perspective as compared to last year? I don't remember what our costs were last year.
Well, I think it's a touch higher than last year, just because the school will also be absorbing her benefits. So I believe it was $32,500 last year, and this year it's going to be $36,415.
Thank you.
Vice Mayor?
Yes, Jim.
Thank you. Angie, in terms of the curricula and some of the teaching materials and background materials, we went through at some length with McKesson about the materials that they're presenting. Are these going to be the same materials that that she had used prior?
Well, are you talking about specifically for the aftercare programs?
Yes.
Basically, after numerous discussions with our team, including the after-school personnel, they found that the best use of Alexa was to have these half-hour trainings where she would come over to the field house. I mean, it was a little bit different last year because of COVID, and I don't think there was there were rooms available, but they're hoping to resume all of this year. So it was almost like a not really a one-on-one, but it was just a small group where they covered a certain topic for a half an hour before the program began, such as, you know, anxiety or behavioral issues, you know, how the staff could respond to maybe a child that was isolating themselves or having a temper tantrum. And so it was almost like a one-on-one that really enhance their skills and enable them to deal with the children. That was what was preferred over like a typical program. It was the training that was highly desirable.
Okay. Any other questions for Angie? Well, Angie, thank you very much for your input on this legislation.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Any opposition to putting this on the consent agenda for this evening? Okay, Debbie, we will put ordinance number 2021-95 on the consent agenda. Angie, thank you for your time and your input.
Thank you very much, and thank you always for your support of these programs. I really appreciate it.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you. Ordinance number 2021-96. It's ordinance authorizing renewal of the contract with the W.B. Mason Company for the supply of janitorial goods for all city departments on an as-needed basis. And I think, Dennis, are you here?
Yes, I am, Vice Mayor.
There we go. I thought I saw you there in the weak corner of that table. We have your letter that you wrote on June 17th. Can you give a little explanation regarding this contract?
You know, it's pretty much it's a standard at the same price as it were bid a while back. I've had some discussions with Director Olchanowicz. You know, he feels that, you know, they you know, do a decent job, and he's pleased with the quality of the items they provide in the pricing. Going forward, though, I think that one thing that we did talk about is when we award the next contract for janitorial supplies, we might award it by item, where we will be purchasing possibly from two vendors, depending on the prices compare. You know, there might be some additional savings, but, you know, this was basically an all or nothing contract. Next time we're gonna, you know, look into awarding basically on price.
I see. Now, this is the second year for this contract with W.B. Mason?
I believe this is the third and last year.
Oh, because it seemed like there's at least your last name, I mentioned ordinance 2020-9. I think, didn't we have Josh in prior to W.B. Mason?
Let me look back and see if 2020-9 was a renewal or if that was...
Tom, you might remember. I see Tom on the screen here.
Yeah, I think the contract ended in May, and so we're extending it through the end of this year. I thought it went like from May to May, if I'm not mistaken. Could be wrong, though.
Well, actually, we're correct. It was from 20-20.
Okay, that's what I thought. So we might try a different tack next year and just go item by specific items and select the lowest and best for the city on those items?
Vice Mayor, Director Will Chanowitz might be able to address that because he was the one that had, you know, a lot of input as to cost savings with different vendors.
Just if I may, Vice Mayor, I think what our
goal is
to incorporate some of the same strategies we use with some of our maintenance contracts and have two things. There's price, but there's also availability of product. So by bidding and being able to have some flexibility with two different vendors, we'll get the best price, but we'll also have the best product available when we need it. So that's really the goal for next year. We'll see.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Mayor. And I see this contract begins the end of the year, so we'll probably be going out to bid prior to the end of the year. Any comments or questions for Dennis? Kathleen?
So is my understanding correct then that the $35,000 figure is from when till December 31st? I'm trying to understand when this actually started. I heard Tom say it possibly ended in May, and then I thought I saw somewhere else April 1st. So when did this contract actually start?
Actually, Councilperson, one of the things that had happened with COVID, it kind of skewed all the numbers because we were having to buy products just based on availability on an emergency basis. So we had, you know, a large surplus of funds with W.B. Mason. We weren't sure if we were going to need to replenish it to get through the year, as we do now, and that's the purpose of this, just to get us through the end of the year.
Okay, so this my question remains. I respect that. I understand what you're saying. My question remains, though. So this is $35,000 to the end of the year, beginning today, beginning in March, beginning or May, beginning in April. I just want to understand that. When did this time frame begin on this contract?
This contract would have began in January 1. Approximately.
So this $35,000 is actually the reflective cost for a year then? Is that what you're saying, Dennis?
Initially, when we bid it, that's, you know, what we were spending. But, you know, like I said, because of COVID, we were buying, you know, janitorial supplies wherever we could get them.
Sure.
And so that $35,000 might not be an accurate reflection. I don't think we're going to need anywhere near that.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from council for Dennis? Any opposition to this legislation to put on the consent agenda? Debbie, we will put this on the consent agenda. Ordinance number 2021-97. This is an ordinance authorizing the purchase and delivery of fitness equipment for the Recreation Department. And I know this was the subject, Kathleen, of your last committee meeting.
Yes.
And I believe Tom had explained to us. Hey, where are you, Tom?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. There you are. These boxes are switching all the time on me. Okay, Tom, go ahead and explain to us. I think you gave an excellent explanation at the Community Services meeting.
Yes. So this is a replacement of 18 pieces of our strength training equipment that we have upstairs here in the weight room at the Civic Center. These are old Nautilus pieces of equipment that were purchased back 15 to 20 years old. And Nautilus actually went out of business quite a few years ago, so we can get parts and replacement seats for some of these pieces. So we've been budgeting this for some time now, and we've got a chance to get them. So with COVID and everything's been back ordered, so we're hoping to get these things, if we can get it approved tonight, to get these installed at the beginning of September. And this is purchased through the Sourcewell contract. So anybody?
And so this is part of our 5-year capital plan?
Correct.
And when was the last time we had bought equipment for the fitness room?
These particular pieces, again, are strength training. They're not like aerobic type equipment. It's not treadmills. It's not ellipticals. This is all stationary strength training equipment. And this, again, is all these machines range between 15 and 20 years old. So we've had them for quite a long time.
I see. It's all part of a program. I know when Ed was recreation, he had a program there where he retired these.
Right.
And schedule, you're following that schedule.
Correct.
Very good. Any questions for Tom regarding this purchase? Kathleen?
Yes, I would just echo what I said at our committee meeting, which was that, if I remember correctly, this is 18 pieces of equipment, and I want Tom to do my shopping, because I think it's really good to be able to buy this much equipment for that dollar amount, because I know this equipment does not come in expensively. So good job, Tom.
Thanks. And now Linda Frace, my assistant here too, she handled a lot of the legwork of getting the pricing down and everything. So.
Any other questions for Tom? Any opposition to putting this on the consent agenda? Very good. We will put 2021-97 on the consent agenda this evening. Thank you, Tom. Ordinance number 2021-98. This ordinance authorizing the renewal of the contract with Questcom Graphics for the printing and related services for the Community Spotlight and the Independence Post for an amount not to exceed $35,000. This would run from July 1st of this year through June 30th of next year. Dennis, you have the floor again.
Yes, you know, it's another renewal. Actually, we did not have a renewal remaining on the contract, but Questcom offered to extend at the same price that they originally bid, which I felt was reasonable. It's going to save us the extra expense of having to advertise and rebid this. And we've been pleased with their response and the work they've done for us in the past.
I see. So this will actually be their fourth year, from my understanding, that a 1 year with 2 1-year renewals. So this will be actually a fourth year too, again at the same price.
That is correct.
Any questions for Dennis regarding this? Kathleen?
Yeah, more of a comment. I think that the pricing is good, that we've been able to retain it, that they've given us that for this many years. I also acknowledge the fact that I like that it's a hometown business whenever we can do that. I know it's not always possible, but I think that's great. And I do remember from, again, my days of working in the department, where having the accessibility for the printing being local accommodated the staff and their needs to a high extent. So that's very positive as well, I believe.
Thank you, Kevin. Any other questions or comments? Debbie, seeing none, we will put ordinance number 2021-98 on the consent agenda. Dennis, how many years has Questcom had that contract now? It's been quite a long time.
Yeah, it predates my, you know, becoming on board with the city. But, you know, they've really been always very responsive, and they work well. It's my understanding we had another printer a while back, and we did have some issues, and that's why we went back, you know, with Questcom, which it was a bid process, and they were awarded the contract.
Thank you, Dennis. we'll move on to ordinance number 2021-99. It is an ordinance authorizing the appropriation of property located adjacent to Hillside Road and fence off for public use purposes as a result of the construction of a public sidewalk and storm sewer connections. Is Don with us today?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Don.
Hello, everyone.
You look refreshed after your vacation, Don. You're looking good.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyways, Don, can you explain, I guess this is the June 24th memo that you had sent to the mayor, council, and to Vernon Gregg?
Yes, yeah, this project is quickly approaching for construction. It's the Hillside Road sidewalk improvements. A lot of the work necessitates working outside the right-of-way for most every parcel out there on the north side of the road, about 16 affected properties. And we have had all the properties valued, fair market values prepared and distributed to the residents. And I've been trying to meet with them and have personal meetings, answer all their questions. And that process is ongoing. We do have secured 7 of the affected 16 parcels. At the time of the memo, I believe there were 4. We've secured an additional 3. And I'm optimistic we still have a few coming quickly. And but I think to be conservative, the request is to adopt or pass legislation that would be protective of the city's rights to move forward and not be delayed on the project.
And now, when do we anticipate beginning the project?
You know, we have a pre-construction meeting scheduled for next week, Monday or Tuesday. We're trying to pin it down, but we'll know better about the contractor's schedule. We're hopeful that we can get started later this month or early next month. A lot of the precast drainage structures and water quality manholes are in fabrication now, but we anticipate the delivery soon. So we've been trying to make good use of this downtime while we're getting all our ducks in a row on the legalities of the property rights. We've been trying to use it in our favor to get structures made so that we can hit the ground running when the materials are available and delivered.
And how many weeks is the project in duration expected to take place?
It was a 5-month calendar, but we felt that probably 4 months is more than adequate. And knowing that we've been trying to make good use of the first month here, even though we've not issued a notice to proceed to get a lot of the structures in fabrication, we think we'll be fine with a 4-month construction.
You think we can get it done before the end of the year then? 4 months yes. Would be probably November?
Yeah, November, December, I think we'll be fine. Whether or not the final restoration is complete and might have to carry over into the spring, which is not uncommon for yeah. projects.
Very good. Any questions of Don regarding this project and regarding this ordinance? Tom?
He's got one parcel number ending in 008. Why is it so much more than all the other ones? That 11,200 compared to the other ones. Your highest one is 6,000.
Is the Carlisle property?
Yeah, that one is the significant retaining wall that needs to be constructed across that property. And it's a property that has an existing house on it. The property right next door is a vacant lot that's owned by Carl Zalotti. And the same retaining wall has to be built across that parcel, but it's a vacant parcel, and I believe that's why the value is less, $6,600 versus the $11,200.
Is that wall go across just those two properties now?
Correct. Rich Duda has a head wall, more like a head wall type retaining wall, but his value is also reflective of the need for the head wall construction.
Any other questions for Don regarding this piece of legislation? Kathleen?
Yes. Don, I noticed in your memo you have totaling $46,550. Do we want to have a not to exceed in this ordinance?
Yeah, I think that would be appropriate.
So I'd like to make a motion then that we add to the ordinance not to exceed $46,550.
Don, do you need any wiggle room with that? Sometimes you allow a little bit extra so you don't have to come back on this. Will you feel more comfortable if we made it flat $50,000 so this way, or is $46,550, you're sure that'll be?
Yeah, Vice Mayor, we've had a couple residents donate the easements, so we picked up a little bit of extra money in the fact that they've donated. One of them was pretty significant, so I think the 46 would be adequate.
Very good. Well, Kathleen has a motion on the floor. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Chris, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Very good, Kathleen. Your motion passes.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Just a quick question. Don Ramey?
Yes, Ken.
Would it be appropriate to name the parties that have donated their easements so we can thank them publicly?
I think the appropriate timing would be appropriate. I think we should secure everything first and then that
absolutely. Okay. I would ask that the report gets made back to council for those residents that do donate their easements so we can thank them for
acknowledge it. Absolutely.
Very good point, Ken.
Yes, it is.
Any other questions of Don regarding this legislation? Not hearing any, we will place this. Any objections to this? Okay, we will place ordinance number 2021-99 on the consent agenda. I guess, Don, there's an order, there's a resolution at the end of the agenda. That's goes along with this resolution 2021-10, which is intent to appropriate a permanent easement and or, if applicable, a temporary construction easement across a portion of certain real properties located on Hillside Road. Again, is this just in case we don't can't come to an agreement with a resident? This allows to go to appropriation measure. Greg, do you have any, Greg O'Brien, any comments on this?
Yeah, the one that you just discussed would allow, in the unlikely event we're unable to come to terms with the property owners, for us to get on the property through legal means. We obviously hope it doesn't come to that. The resolution, candidly, Vice Mayor, is what should be passed prior to the ordinance. There's nothing in the statute that precludes it being passed in tandem. And in fact, we have done that in the past. And so this resolution actually just starts, if you pass a resolution, I encourage you to do so, starts the timing for when we can file an appropriation, assuming you pass a subsequent ordinance. The statute says 30 days after that resolution of necessity is passed.
So we can pass both these tonight on the consent agenda, Greg?
Be all right. Yes. Yes, given the tight time frame of the project, if we had all the time in the world, we'd pass a resolution, and then the following month come back and ask for the ordinance. But there's nothing wrong with doing the same thing.
Very good. Well, very good. We will put both the resolution and the ordinance on the consent agenda this evening. Hopefully, we won't have to use the measures through the resolution, but we'll be prepared if we have to. That wouldn't slow things down, right, Greg? I mean, construction could still begin even without the all the appropriations.
Technically, legally, no. We would need to file an action to set foot on the property, and someone could bring. Technically, no. We need the file the appropriation again. Hopefully, with such a small project like this, it was not necessary along Brecksville when we did that improvement, and hopefully it won't be necessary here.
Very good. Thank you. Any other questions? So we will take both this ordinance 2021-99 as well as resolution 221-10 and have both those on the consent agenda this evening. And again, with that, subject to the motion that was passed this evening, also not to exceed $46,550. Anything further, Don, on this?
Oh, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. We'll move on to ordinance number 2021-101. This is an ordinance accepting the proposal of J&J Enterprise Services, Inc. for demolition of the dwelling located at 9114 Bramley Drive, and abatement of all public nuisances and dispose of all residential materials from the site. Jim, I don't know if you want to come. We have, I think Mike is here with us.
Yes, I'm on.
Okay, Mike, your comments, please.
This is the property on Bramley that the city had condemned back, I believe it was November, working off my memory. And council in February affirmed and ordained the abatement process. I reached out to several, actually four contractors to request proposals for the demolition and cleanup of the site. And I received three, and I have presented those to council. And the lowest was the proposal from J&J Enterprises.
And this property, Mike, has been, I mean, this probably is our longest running problem that we've had over the years. I know it long exceeded the time you've been with the city.
Yes. Yes, it has been an issue. It was an issue, ongoing issue when I started with the city, and it is, I worked with them, attempted to work with them, the city worked with them. The service department was out there a few years back under court order to clean up the property. They did, and the property has, the junk has regrown on the property, and the house is now deteriorated. The house, which I had thought was inhabitable back when we were in court a few years back, quite a few years back, about 5 to 6 years back, which I could not verify, and I did not seek out to obtain an administrative search warrant at that point. But the house, which I thought was inhabitable, and it has deteriorated to the point where the roof has been collapsing on the structure, and it is coming down.
Right. And the mayor, this has probably gone back a number of years. I don't know how many administrations ago, you know, in your service, but I know this has been an ongoing saga.
You know, this is probably the flagship of patience that the city has exhibited over decades. And you know, it's a sad reality that we have to deal with certain isolated cases, but it's just not fair to the neighbors, the neighborhood. And so, again, we'll be methodical about our approach, open communication, but when we see that there's a problem and they're not being responsive, we'll just have to reach out. The ultimate tool is to have City Council pass a legislation that then gives us additional authority. We hope we never have to use it, but in this case, we've exhausted every other means. So this puts us in that reality check of, oh, it's time to just clean up the site and move on.
And these people haven't lived at that home for many years, decades probably.
It's only inhabited by animals, that's all.
I know there's a few raccoon families that have lived there over the years. Any comments or any questions for Michael?
Yeah, Dave. So at some point, do we get reimbursed by this via some kind of...
So the procedure, as I understand it, Greg can correct me if necessary, is that the city will pay the contractors. The city will enter into the contract with the contractors, pay the contractors, then the bill will be sent to the property owner. If the property owner does not pay the bill immediately, then it is placed as a lien upon the property.
Yeah, I would prepare the legislation to certify it as a lien, and that's capturing not only and I talked to the finance department, it's not only the cost of demolition, but it's all costs that the city incurs. And we place it on the lien of the property, and it goes on as a tax, and the individual has the ability to pay it off prior to doing so, but that is during the ordinance to assess.
Thank you, Greg.
So once we, the trigger for my office, just for the record, is when we receive the final invoice to prepare an ordinance to assess the property.
Good. Has anybody checked to see what the status of their real estate taxes have been? I don't, I'd be interested to see if they've been kept current with their taxes or not.
I'll let you know in a few minutes. I'll look at it right now.
Very good.
The last time I had checked, the taxes were current. Actually, not in the rear.
Drives an Escalade, he does have some money, but I know I'm just the finance department here, but we have to be thankful that this property is located at a dead end, quiet street, and therefore it hasn't drawn the attention of, say, the one that is the subject of ordinance 2021-86, or the one that we council had on their agenda a couple months ago on the north end of town, also known as the old Todd Farm. As bad as either one of those might have been, this one here, that's the subject of ordinance 2021-101, exceeds either of those by many, many times. This one, there's no question that the action that will be authorized under this ordinance has to be taken. This one is a sad situation. It's unfortunate it has to go there, but to support the comments that Jim Riley made a few minutes ago about the other legislation, we have to do this, because if we don't, it sends a message to the community that it's okay for you to let your property go, and there won't be any negative ramification for that. And I don't believe we could do that here in Independence. If we need to maintain property standards, we need to maintain the appeal of the community that the community expects and demands. And this property, I wish I had the pictures still. I don't have them anymore, but the backyard, the side yard, when you could see into the windows, and that was 6, 7, 8 years ago, and it's only gotten so much worse. I bet if all of us went to the property right now and leaned against it, we could knock the house over just by our force of strength to knock it over. That's how unsound that property is. So for $22,000 and change, not only demo the house, there is so much personal politely say there's a lot of personal property on the yard. The pool is filled with quote unquote personal property. That'll be taken out. That'll be filled with fill. The property will be graded and seeded, strawed, and it'll be returned to its natural setting until the property sells and maybe somebody builds another house there. But this has to be done in the worst way.
And Vice Mayor, to answer your question, despite them not being due to the 15th, they are current as of, they were paid in advance. So for both properties, you know, there's two permanent parcels there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I understand these people, they have property in Cleveland that was condemned and already has been torn down. So even Cleveland was ahead of us in getting some of their property taken down and restored. So is there any other questions of, Mike, do you have a comment?
I just want to add in reference to the finance director's comment as far as this, we were fortunate that this property was where it was located. That's also the unfortunate part, is that property became a little bit of out of sight, out of mind. It wasn't on our forefront, otherwise it probably would have been addressed a few years ago. Yeah, we would have been having this discussion a few years previous to this.
Vice Mayor, this is probably just for the mayor, but if an assessment does go on there without being paid, the city certainly has the ability to foreclose on that property and recoup its money sooner rather than later.
And there'll be no shortage of people bidding on this property.
Oh. I know that.
No question about it. It's just, and by the way, this is, we're making headway with legislation to bring some of these issues to a head, but there's a long way to go to achieve the level of acceptance or acceptability in our community. So we just are working methodically through some of these issues, and council support on these few that we bring to them that we're at an impasse is most appreciated. It's important, as mentioned earlier, it's important if we're going to change the tone to be able to let people know that we're serious about this. We're going to be respectful, but we're serious.
Thank you, Mayor. Any other questions of Michael? Ken?
Dave, as you mentioned, this property owner has been down this road before with the city of Cleveland. My own quick Google search found that case. past history indicates this property owner is litigious. They got found guilty, they appealed, protracted litigation. They've been down this road before. So my question is basically, so we approve this and the contractor gets hired, then is there a formal notification process to the property owner that says in X number of days or hours, bulldozers are coming in and clearing this property? Or how exactly does that notification process work? And I got to believe when they get that, they're going to get a lawyer. But
get
we've already provided that legal notice saying that unless they abate the nuisance, we are going to do exactly what you're doing tonight. So they've received that notice in advance in accordance with their due process rights. So we're familiar with the background of this property owner.
So would there be an additional notice one last time, or are we done giving notices? Where exactly are we at? Once we approve this,
Councilperson, to your question, we've done all of our legal notices that are required of us to do. I also sent him notices along the way as far as what we were doing. I sent him a notice to say that his property was going to be abated. He had 2 weeks to remove any personal property of it. That was a date of June 18th. I've sent him notification at this with the information of this ordinance, and so that he was aware that this was being discussed tonight, and we haven't heard anything from him. I have not heard any comment. So our next step is to notify him that, you know, bulldozers will be there on, you know, XYZ day.
Mike, just for Councilperson Senek's point, all these notifications have either been hand-delivered or via Federal Express, correct?
Correct. We've been using Federal Express to provide the return receipt, signature request.
Very good, thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Any other questions, Dale?
Just have one. It may sound like a strange question, but if there happen to be furry four-legged inhabitants that might end up creating problems for the neighbors, is that the animal control officer going to be involved at the time that the machines come in? I know a number of the adjacent residents have commented to me about raccoons and other wildlife. And just wondering if they decide to try to take up residence in adjacent properties.
Well, I don't believe the animal control officer will be there while the demolition is going on, but if there's an issue that's created by them, she should be notified to take care of that issue.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Dale. Is there any opposition to this legislation this evening? We'll put this on the consent agenda. That's the 2021-101. Ordinance number 2021-102. It's ordinance authorizing the purchase installation of a polyurethane floor system for the Elmwood Recreation Center in an amount not to exceed $51,790. Again, this was discussed at Kathleen's Community Services Committee meeting. Tom, are you here?
Yes.
Here we are, Tom.
Yes.
You're on the floor, sir.
Thank you. Again, this is a continuation of upgrades down at that building. Over the past 6 or 7 years, we did the kitchen, we did the floor in the small meeting room, the floors in the hallways in the front vestibule, and the last part of the floor upgrade is the gym. This has been in the five-year capital. This floor is basically the same as what we have in the field house, and it's proven to be a very durable floor. It's been in the field house over 15 years now, and actually they have improved this particular floor immensely since it was installed in the field house. So we feel that this is the best flooring for this our purpose down there. So if anybody has any other questions on that, let me know.
And Tom, this has been part of the five-year plan also?
Yes, correct. It's been a five-year
plan. And
I believe from your letter that it came in under the amount that we have encumbered for this?
Well, at first it did, but when they again, pricing keeps changing, and the price did go up, so we are a little bit ahead of what it was, but it's pretty close. Right, included in this is the coating base around the sites also.
And that building is used almost around the clock as far as during the week, and then on weekends it's rented and everything?
Right, correct. And the wrestling team will be using this building again this coming winter.
I see.
The wrestling team. So this would be an ideal floor for them in there too.
And as far as like parties going on and then on the weekend, that will not affect the floor, not damage it?
No, this is a good floor for that, correct. No, this will be a very durable floor, just like the field house. And it'll be better for playing basketball and any kind of other sports too, because it'll have some give in it, where right now it's all basically on a concrete floor, which is rough on your knees and your back.
Tom, is this floor just in the gym area or throughout the entire building?
No, just in the gym area, correct.
What's the anticipated length of time a floor like this lasts? You mentioned we've got a 15-year one in the field house already. Do they have a anticipated lifespan?
Yes, around 20 to 25 years. The one in the field house, when we had the rep out, when he was looking at this floor in the old rec, he was very impressed at our field house. And he feels our field house will even get longer than what we're talking about here, 20 to 25 years. And we've been starting to put away money for the field house floor also for future redoing that floor.
Thank you.
Hey, Tom, is there equipment that's used to clean the floor? I know, didn't we have kind of like a Zamboni type thing at the field house?
Yes, it's basically a floor cleaner, correct. Tenant floor.
And you'll be able to use that for the then for this floor?
Yep, absolutely. You won't have to buy another one. Yep, we can use the same one. Yep.
You know, in regards to the life of this, it has a 25-year manufacturer's warranty.
Great, thank you. Any other questions for Tom or for Dennis regarding this legislation? Anybody in opposition to this, or we can put this on the consent agenda? Very good, Debbie. We'll put ordinance number 2021-102 on the consent agenda.
Thank you.
Ordinance number 2021-103, that's an ordinance amending ordinance number 1988-8 as subsequently amended, a comprehensive ordinance establishing benefits for all regular, full-time, non-bargaining municipal employees. And Mayor, would you like to comment on this legislation?
Well, actually, what we're trying to do is even the playing field with respect to our safety forces, and they put their time in, and they 10 years we want to, or less, they're going to get paid their payout consistent with other members of the department. And it's more of a cleanup, I believe, than anything else.
We did that last year in 2020. We amended it so that Deputy Chief Pollack, when he was retiring, could achieve the same level of payout as if he was retiring as a member of one of the bargaining units, because he didn't want to play the card, but he said, look, I do have the option of abdicating my position as Deputy Chief, falling back a rank and becoming a CBA member, and then being able to retire with the higher benefit. And so we just cleaned it up at that time. And if we had the foresight, we would have just amended the legislation so that applied to both the chief and the deputy chief. And so now it both of them are on parity with the men in the department that are in the CBAs. And I think it's prompting HR to look at making sure that we're consistent all across the employee spectrum, so that nobody is an aberration that either is treated overly generous or overlooked like Deputy Chief Pollack was. So we just want parity, and this is a step to make sure we have that parity in the police department.
Thank you, Vern. any other questions for, yeah, Cam?
Would it make sense to have this ordinance apply not only to the police department, but also the fire department? Was there any thought given to extending the same thing to the fire chief and assistant fire chief?
I don't know if Letitia's on the line, but they may be already covered in the fire department. If they're not, I'm sure that she'll pick that up in the next time we propose an amendment to this section of the code when we're dealing with some of these benefits, especially the payout upon retirement.
We will ask HR to review, like the finance director indicated, to make sure that we kept some of these spot situations that aren't consistent with the rest of the employees.
Thank you, Mayor. Any other questions regarding this? Anybody in opposition to this legislation? Debbie, we'll put ordinance number 2021-103 on the consent agenda. Now, the remaining legislation we have are resolutions 2021-5 through 2021-9. These are all retirements of our police officers and our chief. I'll read them, but five is for Charles Kingzett. Number six is for Richard Payne. Resolution number seven is for James Kroger. And resolution 2021-8 is for Chief Michael Kilbane, and 2021-9 is for Daniel Luciano. And all these men, they're fantastic men. The service they provided our police department over the years has been of the highest quality. Chief, are you on?
Yes, he is.
Is Chief Kilbane here?
Yeah.
Yes, I am, Vice Mayor.
Oh, very good. Mike, I'd like to give you the opportunity to comment, of course, on the retirements of members of your department.
The officers that are retiring all provided exemplary service in the city. More importantly, with those retirements, that's over 130 years of police experience that's going out the door. We worked very hard prior to their retirements to make sure that they shared as much of that knowledge, training, and experience with the younger officers, and they prepared their replacements, have people ready to perform their functions. All of them had outstanding reputations in the city. The good news is a couple of them have indicated that they would be willing to come back in a part-time basis. Because of the way the pension's set up, they have to sit out for at least 60 days before they can become reemployed with the municipality. But that would, and I discussed this with the mayor, that would give us an opportunity to be able to tap in to that unique experience and the knowledge that they have on an ongoing basis. They'd be there, you know, not only to help mentor new officers, but if something horrible happened, it's in a case of emergency break glass, we have these experienced officers that have dealt with, you know, these high profile cases before. You're talking to Detective Payne, for instance. He was our most senior detective. He was instrumental in just about every major case we've handled, at least since I've been here. And Lieutenant Kroger was the administrative lieutenant. He was responsible for running our jail and was in charge of the fleet and the facilities. So, you know, those are the sort of things that it's nice to be able to have those resources to tap back into when we need to, even though they're retired from the city.
Thank you, Michael. Any comments or questions of the chief regarding these retirements? Or any comments just in general from council? Michael, like I say, we'll definitely miss the service of these gentlemen, but to hear that they may be offering some of their, you know, well, once they're retired, go through the process there, that they can work on a part-time basis, that would be a big help, because we have a very young staff. I mean, a very you have a young department, but you have some seasoned veterans there too. And I thank you for providing council with the list of your members of the police department. That was, I believe, that you sent that to us earlier this afternoon.
Yes, and just on a personal note too, you know, this is my last council meeting. I wanted to extend a heartfelt thanks to the members of council and Mayor Kurtz and Finance Director Blaze, the entire administration. you really made running a police department easy. I mean, the cooperation and the interrelationships between the various entities, the administration, the leadership, I was amazed at the way everybody here, you know, despite any minor differences or disagreements that may occur, at the end of the day, everybody looked at, hey, what's best for the City of Independence, and that's the direction that everybody pushed. And, you know, I can't express enough how grateful I am for the support, the resources that you provided for me over the past 8 years. I want to truly thank you for that.
And Chief, I have the same feeling going back to reciprocal back to you as far as your tenure here, at least the years I've been on council. You've been a tremendous police chief for us. I've been fortunate in the 18 years on council that we're able to work with Chief Dugan, Chief Nicastro, and yourself, and the city's been blessed, and the mayor's been blessed. We've had good choices for our and our leadership roles, and not only the police department, the fire department, with at least I'm familiar with Chief Nelson, Chief Regan. We could ask for better chiefs in our safety forces. I thank you also as a member of council. And Mayor, you're welcome. Mayor, you have comments too, please?
About the chief, or about all the
any comments you'd like to make, Mayor? I'm going to turn over the reins to you now.
Yeah, the name, well, you're all set then? Are we done with the, ready?
I believe, Council, there's no, nobody that's opposed to having these resolutions put on the consent agenda. Very good, Mayor. I turn over the meeting to you.
We took care of the last one. That's on the consent agenda also, right?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, so we're all good there. Okay, thank you, Vice Mayor.
You're welcome.
Here we go. Okay, we have
the 701. That's right on the button, too.
we're getting tuned in. We have the regular meeting of council of July 13th, 2021. Clerk, call the roll.
Grindel?
Here.
Capusta?
Here.
Narduzzi?
Here.
Sinek?
Here.
Trakas?
Present.
Perverka?
Here.
Welchanowicz?
Here.
Okay. We have the prayers and ideas by Pastor David Wigger of the United Independence Presbyterian Church.
Thank you all for letting me be here today. Teach me your way, O Lord, sings the psalmist, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. Today's prayer comes from the book Together We Pray and is based on Psalm 86. Let us pray. O God of steadfast love, trusting you, we devote our hearts to learning and our lives to walking. Teach us truth that we may walk with courage. Teach us mercy that we may walk with humility. Teach us forgiveness that we may walk with compassion. Teach us grace that we may walk with strength. Teach us wonder that we may walk with praise. Teach us goodness that we may walk with those in need. O God of steadfast love, learning from you, may we walk well. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend.
Thank you, Reverend.
Thank you, Reverend.
That's your meeting.
Thank you very much. God bless. Now that please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of council of June 8th, 2021, the Streets and Sidewalks Committee meeting of June 15th, 2021, council workshop meeting of June 22nd, 2021, Community Services Committee meeting of June 29th, 2021, and the Safety Committee meeting of July 6th, 2021.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And they are adopted. Again, the reports will be submitted. My report basically revolves around some of the situations going on with the police department and the cameras and surveillance and some of the successes as was indicated at the safety committee. I do want to acknowledge that Chief Gilbane, Mike, a friend and the chief, he came on like 8 years ago, and he does a great job of making sure that the city of Independence is well respected in the law enforcement community. Wherever I go and meet other chiefs, he's engaged. He stayed in the game in terms of not only our chief, but he also was very supportive and involved with the Chiefs Association and the various law enforcement agencies that we interface with on a continuous basis. And I think we're respected, more respected because of his tenure here. Mike, I'll be talking more with you later, but again, thank you, and we'll continue that run. As I mentioned earlier, correspondence, Ron McKinley is replacing Leon, our great service director, Leon Karras, who went to greener pastures and closer to home. Ron is coming from the city of Strongsville, and talked to Mayor Persiak, and he says nothing but good things about Ron McKinley, and look forward to him starting on the 26th. He brings a great deal of knowledge and experience with him, and I'm sure he'll fit right into the city of Independence. We've got a number of other things which I'll leave for my report relative to the how we're moving forward with Tyler and a number of other decisions we're making relative to different positions to fill. So we're making progress, and we're so blessed to be able to have candidates submit for positions. It's really rewarding and warming, heartwarming to know that that we're respected in the greater Cleveland community. So that's my report. And with that, we have legislation. Let's see. We have ordinance 2021-35 has been removed. We have ordinance 2021-77.
Kind of lonely.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance revision 1 enacting new chapter 796 of the codified ordinances of the City of Independence requiring peace officers to be present on the premises for hotels, motels, transient hotels, and transient motels and banquet facilities for events in which alcohol is served or permitted to be consumed.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Grindel?
Yes.
Capusta?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Sinek?
Yes.
Trakas?
Aye.
Vavrka?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
And it's adopted. We have ordinance 2021-86.
Ted Lovely.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance declaring the dwelling and accessory buildings at 7622 Brecksville Road in the City of Independence to be structurally defective and unsanitary and therefore a public nuisance as defined in City Codified Ordinance 1369.01, declaring the dwelling at 7622 Brecksville Road and accessory buildings in the City of Independence to be unsafe or structurally defective under Ohio Revised Code Section 715.261 and authorizing the law director to notify the owner of and declaring an emergency.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Capusta?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Sinek?
Yes.
Trakas?
Aye.
Vavrka?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
Grindel?
Yes.
And it's adopted. We have the consent agenda. Consent agenda as identified by considered routine. Each item will be read individually into the record, and the consent agenda will then be voted on as a whole by one motion and roll call. There will be no separate discussion on these items. If discussion by council is desired on any consent agenda item, the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered to be this normal sequence under the regular order of business. Do I have a motion?
I move.
The consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Ordinance 2021-93, an ordinance authorizing the execution of depository agreements for interim public funds. Ordinance 2021-94, the 2021 annual appropriations ordinance. Ordinance 2021-95, an ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a memorandum of understanding with the Independence Local Schools Board of Education for professional consulting services from Educational Services Center of Northeast Ohio in connection with the Early Intervention Prevention Program. Ordinance 2021-96, an ordinance authorizing renewal of the contract with W.B. Mason Company for the supply of janitorial goods for all city departments on an as-needed basis. Ordinance 2021-97, an ordinance authorizing the purchase and delivery of fitness equipment for the Recreation Department. Ordinance 2021-98, an ordinance authorizing the renewal of the contract with Questcom Graphics for printing and related services for the Community Spotlight and Independence Post. Ordinance 2021-99, as amended, an ordinance authorizing the appropriation of property located adjacent to Hillside Road, Independence, Ohio, for public use purposes as a result of the construction of a public sidewalk and storm sewer connections. Ordinance 2021-100, an ordinance authorizing the execution of depository agreements for active public funds. Ordinance 2021-101, an ordinance accepting the proposal of J&J Enterprises Services, Inc. for demolition of the dwelling located at 9114 Bramley Drive and abatement of all public nuisance and disposal of all residual materials from the site. Ordinance 2021-102, an ordinance authorizing the purchase and installation of a polyurethane floor system for the Elmwood Recreation Center. Ordinance 2021-103, an ordinance amending ordinance number 1988-8 as subsequently amended, a comprehensive ordinance establishing benefits for all regular full-time non-bargaining municipal employees. Resolution 2021-5, a resolution authorizing Charles Kingzett to retain possession of his firearm and badge of office upon retirement. Resolution 2021-6, a resolution authorizing Richard Payne to retain possession of his firearm and badge of office upon retirement, revision 1. Resolution 2021-7, a resolution authorizing James Kroger to retain possession of his firearm and badge of office upon retirement, revision 1. Resolution 2021-8, a resolution authorizing Michael Kilbane to retain possession of his firearm and badge of office upon retirement. Resolution 2021-9, a resolution authorizing Daniel Luciano to retain possession of his firearm and badge of office upon retirement, revision 1. And Resolution 2021-10, a resolution of intent to appropriate a permanent easement and or, if applicable, a temporary construction easement across portions of certain real properties located on Hillside Road.
Phew.
Done.
Good job, Debbie.
Great job, Debbie.
It was a mouthful.
Only thing that could have made it better is if you had it memorized, Deb.
Okay. How many motions to suspend?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion to adopt?
Second.
Second.
Any questions on approving and adopting the consent agenda as well spoken? Call the roll.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Sinek?
Yes.
Trakas?
Aye.
Vavrika?
Yes.
Welchanowicz?
Yes.
Grindel?
Yes.
Kapusta.
Yes.
You know, I don't think there's anything else, is there?
Nope, that is it.
David, you're going to make it to dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now wait a minute.
First time in a year.
Mayor, I wanted to thank you for giving the opportunity to greet the American Legion at their convention at the Holiday Inn and Rocks on Friday. Wonderful group of men and women. I enjoyed it thoroughly and everything. It was really a great opportunity to meet some really good, really wonderful people here in the state of Ohio. So thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you for filling in. That's a great organization. They do a great job. They very much appreciate They love independence too, so
that's a good thing. They sure do.
You know, so I think we have an executive session, but it's not until 7:30. So we have a limitation of time, Greg, or no?
No, we can go into it right now, Mayor.
Oh, okay. Can we just go right now and then Debbie can close?
Yeah, and you might want to mention to any attendees that there will be no action taken after executive session.
Yeah, thank you everyone for attending this evening. And as was just suggested, there will be no action taken after this meeting. And I appreciate the fact that people attend the meetings and that the team, my team, its administrative staff, is on top of things. Thank you very much, team members, for your participation. And when you have a consent agenda, that's effective. It makes things go much smoother, and it's because of your efforts all month long. So thank you very much.
So, Mayor, just to be specific, it'd be an executive session to consider confidential information related to the marketing plan, specific business strategy, production techniques, trade secrets, or personal financial statements of an applicant for economic development assistance that involves public infrastructure improvements or the extension or of utility services and involves a possible sale or purchase of public property and also land acquisition.
Okay, you can say that again. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's very thorough, and that's the purpose. That being said, I have a motion to adjourn to executive session.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Debbie, I have the sheet. I'll keep track of the motions and everything.
Thank you.
Are we staying out here, or are we moving?
Are we just staying out here?
Greg sent us an invite.
Yeah, there was a link sent to you, and I made sure Councilperson RGC made it to the email of SBC.
Okay.
Good luck, Chief.
Thank you. Thank you very much,
Chief. Good luck in your new endeavor.
Are we going to have
the recording has stopped?
We'll have a little part.